and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA and happy LGBTQ Pride Month. I'm Andy Hum.
You look very colorful with that rainbow tie around your neck.
Should I keep it on or take it off?
Hey, your choice. Fling one half of it over your shoulder like a boa.
Okay.
Let's see. No.
On with the show. I'm taking it off. We have news to talk about. We got plenty of rainbow flags on the show.
Northrup trying to amend Andy's wardrobe.
Okay.
Well, happy LGBTQ Pride Month. We've been previewing it, but it's actually here now. So we're celebrating.
And it's also LGBTQ Families Day today when we're taping. But just today, we're coming from a ceremony where the rainbow flag was raised permanently at the Stonewall National Monument, a first for a federal property.
Very exciting. We're going to show you some pictures and video of that. We have some new news of out LGBTQ candidates for Congress in Oregon, New York, and Vermont.
High school students in Maine saved their town's LGBTQ pride parade.
We certainly have to count on the youth because the grown-ups are not doing so well these days. Adult survivors of sexual abuse have a new, bigger window in which to bring lawsuits in New York.
The Pope made a relatively pro-gay bishop, a cardinal, passing over a hardliner.
Yeah, the new one sounds good, but it's still the Catholic Church. We mourn the passing of lesbian Holocaust survivor Margot Hoyman. She has quite a story. And our longtime friend, gay and AIDS activist and disability activist, Timothy Lunsford Stevens.
A 25-year-old gay man out socializing in New York was robbed and drugged and then died shortly after the encounter with these strangers.
Terrible story. And another terrible story, a former Virginia Tech football player who beat a gay man to death has been acquitted.
So much for the panic trans or gay panic defense. We have trouble to report in Senegal and Istanbul.
And Kevin Spacey's in trouble again, but he seems to be facing it with bravado. He faces four new sex assault charges in the UK.
Biopics are in the work on by Leonard Bernstein and gay pioneer Frank Kameny.
I learned today that Bernstein changed the pronunciation of his name at some point in his life from Bernstein to Bernstein. Well, more on that later.
He always said S-T-E-I-N, that's a Stein. What do you drink out of a Stein?
Yeah, well, originally he was Steen, so okay. Look it up in Wikipedia. Laverne Cox has been celebrated as a Barbie doll.
So, Anne, take us to the Stonewall National Monument.
If only I could. Let me set the scene here. In the Obama administration in 2016, the Stonewall National Monument was officially declared and created in Christopher Park in Sheridan Square in New York City, across the street from the Stonewall Inn. And very specifically, the park was made the national monument because that's where the riot really was and where the rioters were and where people hung out. So that's been the Stonewall National Monument. So they create that in 2016 and under Obama. And then they slowly get around to figuring, we ought to raise a rainbow flag and dedicate it. But they don't schedule that dedication until 2017. And guess who's president then? Donald J. Trump. Well, he canceled that. he said, no rainbow flag on federal land. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give that 3 square feet of land under the flagpole to the New York City Parks Department so we don't have to take ownership of a rainbow flag on federal land. Well, fast forward 5 years, and the great activist Michael Petrelis has been pursuing it all this time. And today, June 1st, 2022, with Joe Biden as president, we had a raising of a Progress Pride flag in Stonewall National Monument on Christopher Street in New York City. It was a glorious event.
It was quite thrilling. Anne was the MC for the event. There were many good speakers. We hope to bring you some of this next week. Bill Ballman, our associate producer, filmed the whole thing. And there were some very moving speeches from a Native American who talked about it being Lenape land, from the head of the Parks Department in New York, Shirley
McKinney. She's the National Park Service superintendent of all Manhattan national parks, whether it's the African Burial Ground or Grant's Tomb and the Stonewall National Monument. And she is charming and adorable. And she spoke at the ceremony in full Park Service uniform. And yes, Janice Stacy, trans native activist, gave the land acknowledgement. And Michael Petrelis in full rainbow regalia, who is responsible for all of this, and Stephen Menendez, who puts up the flags around the park every year.
We have a picture of the whole crew there. Hey, there they are.
Well, there's Shirley in the middle with her hand on her knee, and Michael in flag colors, and Janice there with the feather headdress, and Stephen with the beard, and we're missing only Lilias White. Actually, she's there in the background on the left with the white pants.
She sang over the rainbow so beautifully. It almost would make you forget Judy Garland, who's going to be 100 in a few days.
Lilias is a Tony-winning Broadway star of many productions, and she brought down the house. She was great.
She was great. So a great achievement. Well, could we be in danger of losing it in a Republican administration?
It's a national monument. I don't think they would take it away now. And you know, I'm very cynical. I think they're going to take away marriage equality. I think they're going to take away all rights that have been conferred by courts. But I don't see them getting rid of a national monument.
That's an optimistic way to start this show.
For Pride Month? It's not like they haven't heard it before from me.
No.
Well, but it was a great event. I knew
you all did a great job.
But it was really great.
And thanks to Tom Viola from Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, for really helping put this together as well.
Totally. He totally supplied all the personnel and materials needed to do this and booked Lilias White to do the singing. Tom is what I keep saying about Tom is as head of Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS. He has a very broad vision of his purview here and his mission. And so he's been helpful to so many projects and events across the board, including Gay USA. And we really love him for who he is and really appreciate his vision.
And if you're getting a good feeling off this and you want to support Gay USA, go to our website at gayusatv.org and make your pride contribution.
I'm wearing a button that has the original 8 colors from the original rainbow flag. But we here in New York City is not the only place that is celebrating Pride. The president issued a Pride proclamation in which he talked about the community being under attack and that we are loved and cherished and that he has our back, and then went through his accomplishments and talked about the need for the Equality Act.
Right. Well, so let's look at some of the progress we're making in congressional races. It's going to be hard to hold on to the House this year, but we've got some good LGBTQ candidates. In Oregon, in the 5th Congressional District, out progressive Jamie McLeod Skinner did not just beat sitting Representative Kurt Schrader, a Democrat, she beat the Joe Manchin of the House, he was called. He was a close ally of Big Pharma, who opposed efforts to rein in drug prices and thwarted parts of the Build Back Better bill. So McLeod Skinner won 57-43%. She said to Schrader in a debate, "You've gone so far to the right that running to the left of you just means I'm a Democrat."
Well, people were engaging in scare tactics and saying, you know, if you nominate her, she'll never be able to beat the Republican. I don't think that's true.
She's an emergency response coordinator, a small business owner, an engineer, an attorney. She's very big on environmental issues. She's 54. Her wife, Cass McLeod Skinner, is executive director of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners and an attorney as well.
But we are going to hear more about her and others next week when we bring back Anise Parker, former mayor of Houston and head of the Victory Fund that supports LGBTQ candidates across the nation. Anise is going to come back and talk to us about elections and who's running and their chances and what we need to do to go out there and elect people.
And what are they going to do in the 10th congressional district, which is just to the south of us? It includes the Stonewall now and a lot of Brooklyn. And out, Mondaire Jones is moving to that district where the Stonewall is, forced out by Sean Patrick Maloney, bigfooting him up in Westchester and upstate. Jones said Maloney called to apologize for not giving him a heads up that he was going to oppose him. Jones did not say whether he accepted the apology, nor whether Maloney should continue as the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And Jones also says that Nancy Pelosi has his back and is treating him as the incumbent in this race. That includes Bill de Blasio, the former mayor, and Liz Holtzman, the former city comptroller.
And a lot of other people. There are approximately 53 people running for this congressional seat now. And
all you need is a plurality.
Well, I said something to Andy the other day about, oh, my God, look at all this. And he said, well, thank heavens we don't have to decide because we no longer live in that district.
We have to decide between Carolyn Maloney and Jerry Nadler. All right.
It's a mess in New York. All right. But in Vermont, there's a little more clarity because Becca Ballant, who we told you about before, who is a lesbian running for the one congressional seat in Vermont, was up against a very tough opponent, Keisha Ram Hinsdale. And Keisha has now dropped out of the race and endorsed Becca. So that is very good news for Becca, who is the Senate President Pro Tem in Vermont, and she now has to run in the Democratic primary against the Lieutenant Governor, another woman.
And who is more centrist.
Yes, but, you know, admirable.
By Becca, Vermont standards.
Well,
blaming socialists to those of you in red states.
Exactly. So I can't criticize her, really. But Becca is the official progressive candidate, and her path just got a little clearer. But we'll continue to follow that race.
In other state news, Governor Kathy Hochul signed the Adult Survivors Act. There she is, spearheaded by our outstate Senator Brad Hoylman there, the man standing to the right of her. It allows adult survivors of sexual assault a one-year window to bring a suit for past assaults that had passed the statute of limitations. It goes into effect in 6 months. Similar legislation opened a window for those assaulted as children that passed in 2019. And before we leave New York, the governor also announced non-binary and trans residents can select an X marker on state IDs available through the Gender Recognition Act that goes into effect on June 24th. It also makes changing names and sex on birth certificates easier. If you can't visit a DMV for your license, you can do it online.
Now, we told you last week that Brad Hoylman was going to not run for Congress, but run to retain a state Senate seat and would probably be running against former Comptroller Scott Stringer. Stringer is now dropped out of that race, so Hoylman's path is a little clearer there.
I saw Scott in the district the other day. He says, make sure you tell everybody I was in Chelsea. So he was thinking
about he is officially out of the race. Now, the way you can tell it's a political year in New York is that Governor Hochul today, for the beginning of Pride Month, announced that rainbow flags would be flown in all state parks across the state. And on all office buildings in state office buildings.
Wow.
And that monuments around the state would be lit up in rainbow colors on several days. She wants our vote.
Well, she's going to need to stop that Penn Station area project, but that's another issue. Oklahoma, on the other hand, from New York, banned trans kids from using restrooms that align with their gender identity, subjecting them to bullying if they have to go into the other one, passed 38-7. They threatened the funding of a school district that doesn't comply, and they let parents sue if their child had to share a restroom with a trans person.
Well, students are fighting back. In Passaic, New Jersey, at Passaic Prep Academy, the local district superintendent said, no flags on flagpoles that are not the U.S. flag, a state flag, or whatever, another country's flag. They're flying a Ukraine flag, but no rainbow flags. We are going to stay neutral. Well, the teachers and staff and students went to work, and they put up rainbow banners in all the windows in the school. Man, that's great.
What's that purple flag on the other pole?
Maybe that's some kind of state flag.
All right.
But the students are so happy because they want these flags up because they want it to be a welcoming atmosphere. And there are a lot of quotes from students at the school saying, you know, I know that my fellow students don't always get treated right at home, and they need to have a safe, welcoming space. Absolutely. When they come to school. It's so heartwarming to hear these kinds of statements from students. And in Seattle, Washington, at Seattle Pacific University, a Christian university started in the Free Methodist denomination, whatever that may be. Anyway, their administration has reaffirmed that they will not hire any LGBTQ staff.
Nice.
It's not even about their behavior now. It's just about their identity. The students are protesting. They staged a walkout, and they've been staging a sit-in at last check-in for 3 days, presumably continuing. We'll check in on that and see how it's going. But again, the students are so much smarter than and so much braver and more open than the grown-ups.
It's I won't say I was surprised, but the chancellor of the New York City schools, David Banks, announced he was announcing the introduction of an Asian American and Pacific Islander curriculum, especially because there's so many attacks on Asian Americans these days.
Right.
But he said this is a continuation of work that they've already done on Black studies and LGBTQI curricula.
Please.
I'm not so aware of that. And they're working on Middle Eastern, Latinx history, Americans with disabilities, and a deeper understanding of Jewish culture. So I hope it's all true. I'd like to see it. And
well,
I hope it's all integrated into one big thing.
Rather than Muslim Day, LGBTQ Day, et cetera, et cetera. It's all lip service to this point in the New York
City. And how about those high school kids in Belfast, Maine?
Yes.
They had a pride parade there since 2016, and then they had a pandemic hiatus, and the adults let it go. So the kids stepped forward to revive it. They use their Gay Straight Alliance to work through the whole thing. The president of the group, Willa Bywater, said it was her mom's idea. The students had to obtain a parade permit, work with the school district to obtain liability insurance, raise money for expenses. You should just march. And they coordinated volunteers just to, you know, exercise their First Amendment rights. It's going to take place on Saturday, June 4th, 10:30 a.m. outside Belfast High School.
And I guess the mayor of New York City finally got the message from us. He, Mayor Adams, who started his administration by appointing a lot of homophobes to various jobs, has now appointed out gay Frankie Miranda to the Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board. He is the CEO of the Hispanic Federation. So,
and, you know, New York State is on the verge of legislative approval of the Equal Rights Amendment. I remember in 1975 when the voters of New York defeated a constitutional amendment for ERA, even though the state legislature approved it federally. But anyway, this new ERA is not just based on sex. It also includes race, color, ethnicity, national origin, pregnancy status, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, disability, creed, and religion. And another version enshrines abortion rights. So this is a big deal. If it passes the legislature, they have to pass it again in the next term, and then it goes to the voters in 2025.
Okay. And on the flip side, more adults behaving badly. Controversy in Greenwich, Connecticut, where usually thought of as a, you know, relatively sophisticated area. Well, the Greenwich Board of Education has changed its non-discrimination policy for its schools. It has deleted the words sexual orientation and gender identity from its non-discrimination policy and said, look, we support everyone, and the term sex is sufficient because, you know, that's what federal law says now. You don't delete references to sexual orientation and gender identity and expect us to believe that you support us.
Well, in Cedar Valley, Iowa, a gay music teacher was forced to resign from the Valley Lutheran High School last summer after someone hacked his phone and posted personal information about him on Facebook. Now, the school, when they hired him, they knew he was gay, but they said, you got to be discreet about it. And he said, and he had been discreet, but they fired him anyway. The pastor forced him to resign. He did. Then he applies for unemployment benefits and he gets them. And then the school appeals that. But he went before an administrative law judge this month and they found that he had not violated the terms of his employment. He was being blackmailed.
And he's the one who went to the school to report the blackmail threats.
And he reported it to the police, and the police said, oh, we don't have the resources to investigate that. Blackmail.
You know, people have objected to calls to defund the police because they don't like the slogan. But if the police every day are, whether you're looking at Uvalde or stories like this, you have to really wonder whether they're doing all of them. Let me not paint with a broad brush, but too many instances of job not getting done.
Okay. Some other state news in Montana. They are defying, the state is defying a state court order to allow trans people to correct gender markers on their birth certificates. The Department of Health issued an order that only something called immutable sex can be listed, saying sex only changes in very rare circumstances and gender is a social construct. I'm telling you.
I just laugh when they come up with that language as if they know what they're talking about.
Louisiana passed another anti-trans sports bill. Everybody's urging Governor John Bel Edwards to veto it again. They did remove intramural sports from the bill, which was something that he wanted, but does it go far enough?
Well, in New Hampshire, the House there rejected a bill to force teachers and staff to out students to their parents. A little common sense reigns in New Hampshire.
How about that pope? He's appointed another relatively liberal bishop to be a cardinal, Robert McElroy of San Diego. There he is in Mufti, speaking to a group of priests. Now, while none of these liberals and the bishops renounce anti-LGBTQ teachings, he has said in the wake of the 2015 SCOTUS decision in Obergefell that we should respect the loving and familial relationships which enrich the lives of so many gay men and women who are our brothers and sisters. And he rejected that Illinois bishop who denied communion to gay people and wouldn't let, you know, gay people have funerals in the Catholic Church, this guy. So, you know, now the Pope had to pass over the Archbishop of Los Angeles, who was the head of the Catholic bishops in America and who was a hardliner. And so the Pope is building up about 62% of his appointments who will vote for the next Pope. So you might get someone like him. Of course, it would be nice if we could get a lesbian in there. And until the church can do that, you're not there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting how the politics work in the church and how each pope, stacks the deck and or packs the court in picking cardinals for the next election.
We told you about the murder of Daniel Enriquez by a random shooter on the subway. His funeral was held in a Roman Catholic church, and his longtime partner was there and tough stuff.
There are some certainly individual priests and bishops in the Catholic Church who take the initiative to be human beings about these issues and do the right thing. And that's always good to see. Well, let's mourn a few people we lost in the last week or so. First of all, Tim Lunsford Stevens, what a great activist Tim was. He died, I think he was about 65. He finally succumbed to ALS, but he had battled blindness, deafness, cancers. He had been sick so many ways for so long, but was such an adamant, energetic activist and really rigorous on disability rights. You could not get away with anything with Tim if you're holding a meeting, you absolutely had to have a sign language interpreter. You had to have accessible rooms. He just stood up for everybody.
Survived by his husband, Mel, who often wheeled him around in his wheelchair. You know, Tim said that he got involved because his friend Paul Popham, one of the founders of the gay men's health crisis, he saw that happening and he got involved. But, you know, he was doing activism almost right up until the end when he just couldn't move anymore. Even if he was in his wheelchair, he was out there.
And he was out there from an early age. He was originally from Georgia, eventually ended up in New York. But he was an activist in his youth and an activist for disability rights long before he was afflicted.
And in our email, we are going to link to his ACT UP oral history because he was an early member of ACT UP. I was in a support group at GMHC with him back in 1983 when we were just trying to cope with it as gay men. So he never gave up.
Never. And he got arrested a lot and did support at demonstrations endlessly. And had a great sense of humor and was just a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Except when he was angry about whatever was going on. But
we loved him.
Went through a great struggle
I learned all about lesbian Holocaust survivor Margot Heumann this week, who died at the age of 94, a German Jew. She and her family got sent to the Czech transit ghetto. Where she fell in love at the age of 14 with a Viennese girl, Dieter Neumann. And both were sent to Auschwitz. There they are in later in life because they kept up their entire lives. They survived. They were sent to Auschwitz. They survived. They ended up in a camp in Hamburg. She said, because of my caring for another human being, we somehow never lost our dignity and we remained people.
Extraordinary. They both married men and had some children, but then they came together later in life. And eventually, in very late in her life, Margaret decided to announce to her family that she was a lesbian. And her family said to her, "Yes, Margot, yes, you are."
Well, you know, she said that she had children because she felt, because of the Holocaust, she owed that to her parents who perished in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing story. We're going to link both to the New York Times, did an extensive obituary on her, and to her Wikipedia page if you can't get behind the Times paywall.
And then a terrible story of a young man, Julio Ramirez, 25 years old. He went out with a friend to a gay bar in New York City, the Ritz Bar.
In Hell's Kitchen.
And got separated from his friend, but was seen getting into a cab with three other guys. And eventually the three other guys got out of the cab and left him. And the cab driver discovered that he was dead, that Julio was dead.
They're attributing it to drugs. I mean, I think they drugged him. They took his wallet. They took his cell phone. They emptied his bank accounts of $20,000. So there needs to be, we've really got to push for an investigation on this. This is a kid who had two master's degrees, believed in serving underserved communities, was a social worker, a sweet guy, and we've got to get justice for him.
A bilingual.
Before these guys hit somebody else.
Yes, a mental health counselor. He could have been.
By the way, in the Uvalde, Texas story, we've learned that the 18-year-old who shot and killed the 19 kids and the two teachers had a history of carrying on conversations with young women and girls rife with threats and aggression. It was one of these incel types, felt he was entitled to do this to women. And this was a lot of the basis of his psychosis or whatever it is. People reported him for threatening to shoot and rape them. They gave him a 1 week suspension from this, you know, this online thing that he was on. And that's, you know, a Yubo is the name of it. Y-U-B-O.
Meanwhile, Arizona Congressman Paul Gosar and other right wing fanatics have picked up on a mistaken story that this killer was trans and an illegal immigrant, when in fact he was born in this country, was not trans, and as you say, has this history. So as a result of this story being passed around, it's been debunked totally, but it's still being passed around. People are still making these charges.
Yeah, we heard it was trans.
Yeah. An illegal immigrant trans, and that young trans people are being attacked on the basis of this false story.
Trans girl in Texas, 17, attacked by four men who referenced this. The girl was accosted in El Paso last Wednesday night. The men hurled all manner of transphobic slurs at her. "One of your sisters killed those little kids," and they grabbed her. You know, no, guys, it was bullies like you that did this. Anyway, she went to the police and they wouldn't take a report.
Ditto, ditto, ditto. Also, you know, we talked last week a little about how State Farm had been supporting a gender cool book program, and then the right attacked them and they backed off. I'm still seeing anti-State Farm ads on TV in New York City, attacking State Farm for supporting LGBTQ kids.
All right.
It's stunning.
Another very outrageous story, really. I don't mind saying this guy did have a trial and he was acquitted. We told you about that former Virginia Tech football player, Isimemen Etut. He was acquitted in the beating death of a gay man. Now, that's Etute. The gay man's name was Jerry Paul Smith. And this was in the Montgomery County Circuit Court. Now, Etute met Smith on Tinder, and he says Smith posed as a woman. A month later, Etute goes back with friends to confront him to find out, are you a man or a woman? Because he had performed oral sex on him.
Smith claims oral sex on Issa Memon.
Right. And he claims that Smith then went to grab something under his bed. He thought it was a gun. Police eventually did find a knife there. But I mean, he now pleads self-defense, but he beat this guy, Smith, senseless, brutally. And it sounds like, trans panic, gay panic, whatever you want to say. And he was acquitted.
Well, for one thing, it's one of the most vicious beating murders I've ever read about, including footprints on his head from when he was stomped on. Every bone in his face was broken. His whole body was just viciously beaten. The judge said that he had to give some benefit of the doubt to Etute about the knife or gun or whatever he thought it was. But the real answer was, the judge said that even though West Virginia passed a law against use of the gay panic defense, they passed it after this crime happened, so it could not be outlawed in the defense of this crime.
It's just terrible all the way around.
Yes, it is. And in, wait a second, I have another one here. Where is it? Seattle, Washington. Calvin Garcia, 25, has pled guilty to a hate crime for setting fire to the Green Bar nightclub. His statements about setting the arson was, it's wrong that we have a bunch of queers in society, so that's why I am setting fire to this bar. He has now pleaded guilty to a hate crime.
Folks, you're listening to this, especially our wonderful non-LGBTQ viewers, everybody needs to be speaking up about this kind of stuff. To stop this kind of atmosphere that we have in our society. Every religious leader needs to speak out against it. Every politician needs to speak out against it. Unfortunately, half of them are going the other way.
And the old saying, if you see something or hear something, say something and press it to get people to pay attention.
I cut two acquaintances off this week who thought that the Ricky Gervais special was just terrific. I said, we're done.
By the way, we mentioned last week Peter Thiel acolyte running for Senate in Arizona. It turns out, we are informed by an Arizona viewer, that this guy, I assumed he was running as a Republican. No, he's running in the Democratic primary against Mark Kelly, sitting U.S. Senator. And I said to this viewer, well, certainly Mark Kelly will just wipe the floor with him. And she said, no, it's actually a very tight race. And we told you last week, this guy Masters is a complete right-wing nut.
It's also to make Mark Kelly spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
To wear him down.
And to make the Democratic Party spend a lot of money in Arizona that they could use elsewhere.
Politics ain't beanbag.
The day before this Stonewall flag raising that we told you about at the top of the show, Reclaim Pride held a press conference to announce the details of the Queer Liberation March this year. It will be the Queer Liberation March for trans and BIPOC freedom, reproductive justice, and bodily autonomy. And it will be held on Sunday, June 26, starting at 2 p.m. at Foley Square and marching up 6th Avenue to Washington Square Park. And there will again be a health fair at the side of, I assume, Washington Square Park, where it was last year on one of the side streets. The health fair was a huge hit last year. Testing, treatment, information, a really nice addition to the march.
We'll be there.
We will.
If we can.
All right. Should we move on to international news?
Yes. Well, you heard about Kevin Spacey. He's 62. He's indicted. I chose this picture, but he seems to not be in this mood. He was indicted on 4 counts of sexual assault on Thursday, the same day he took the stand in Manhattan in a sexual assault lawsuit brought by 2 men who were boys when Spacey allegedly assaulted them, including the actor Anthony Rapp, who was 14 at the time. So in Britain, the alleged assaults occurred in 2005, 08, 13, mostly in London, also in Gloucestershire. Spacey was artistic director of the Old Vic Theatre, and one of the charges is causing a person to engage in penetrative sexual activity without consent. Now, he was facing extradition, and he said, no, I'll go. I'm going to go. I'm going to, you know, face these charges.
Well, people assumed that he would stay in the U.S. or stay out of the U.K. to avoid these charges, but he's been so successful in avoiding previous charges.
A couple of them, but there were 20 men at the Old Vic who came forward and said he wouldn't leave me alone.
Well, as I say, he remains free and unconvicted of anything at this point. So I think he has decided that he doesn't want to be barred from the UK. And so he feels that, I don't know if he feels invulnerable or what, but he has announced that he will go face these charges.
Well, these are criminal charges. These aren't lawsuits, you know. So yeah. Here he's facing just lawsuits.
Well, better news from Britain, where Wimbledon, the tennis operation, has announced that they're going to retroactively give Billie Jean King and Chris Evert their titles at Wimbledon. Previously, or up until now, Billie Jean King has been referred to as Mrs. Larry King, and Chris Evert's been referred to as Mrs. John Lloyd. Talk about 17th century references, but they're now.
That's the way the umpires referred to them up until 2019, I think.
Yes.
But Mrs. they did equalize the, they equalized the prize money back in 2007 for women and men there.
Well, it's nice that they can be full human beings.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It will always be in England. By the way, fishing on Spacey, you know, Spacey was already ordered to pay his studio, who did House of Cards, $31 million for breach of contract for violating their sexual harassment policy. So he's not winning everything.
Okay. An update on our discussion of the Church of England last week. They do not officiate same-sex weddings. We talked about how the Church of Scotland has decided they now will, but the Church of England still does not.
Okay. All right. In Istanbul at Boğaziçi University, the students had a pride march that was broken up last Friday by cops. 70, I think it was all of them, were arrested. A few tried to resist. You know, Erdogan, the president there, has banned pride marches since 2015 and suppressed other LGBTQ events. Turkey's interior ministry has called protesters LGBTQ deviants.
Every year we show pictures or video of LGBTQ peaceful pride marchers getting arrested in Istanbul, chased down the street, beaten by cops.
Try it in Russia.
No, thank you. We've shown those pictures too.
Right. And although some brave people did it in Uganda for the last couple of years and some other places, these are the really brave activists in this world who do this in these totally repressive countries.
And this is why the rainbow flag is so important as a symbol around the world of aspirational freedom and justice. People see it everywhere as the important symbol. So raising it today at the Stonewall Monument does have global implications. And when we see these pictures of LGBTQ peaceful protesters or marchers in Russia, in Ukraine, in Turkey, in wherever, waving the rainbow flag and being assaulted for it, our hearts go out to them.
Well, in Senegal, you don't have to wave the rainbow flag. You just have to be a man who dresses stylishly. Listen to what happened on May 17th in Dakar. A crowd of 100 descended on an American man and beat him to a bloody pulp, shouting anti-gay slurs, dirty homosexual, let us kill him before the police arrive. The man, again, has been identified as a musician who was there for an art event. He was, again, considered gay because of stylish clothing. They stripped him, took his cell phone, left him covered in blood injuries, and fled. The police have arrested three men for participating in the attack. That's a step forward. It's a predominantly Muslim country and on a former French colony. They have 5 years in prison for homosexuality, which the legislature wants to make 10 years. You know, victims are often arrested and held without trial after vigilante mobs go after them. And they're held until their families pay for their release. It's a tough, tough, tough spot, Senegal.
Well, we do have one story of great courage from Ukraine where LGBTQ people are signing up as soldiers to fight against Russia. And they have taken note of the fact that the Russian authorities, of course, for years have been saying LGBTQ people do not exist. So these soldiers from Ukraine have adopted the symbol of a unicorn as a fantastical creature and are putting that symbol on their uniforms, sewing it on their uniforms. It makes me want a unicorn symbol. And enormous bravery to assert themselves under those conditions.
Also very brave is the pro-gay mayor of Bogota, Gustavo Petro. He was the top vote getter in the presidential vote in Colombia, got 40%, but he faces a runoff with the Trumpian Rodolfo Hernandez, who's a real horror show. And the conservative candidates, other candidates are kind of coalescing around Hernandez, even though he's so terrible. Which makes it tough, despite the fact that this Hernandez is under criminal investigation.
Well, the real shocker was that the centrist conservative lost. Everybody was stunned by that. So, yes, it is the more... I hate to use the term populist to describe these Trumpian types, because populist to me means someone who's really of the people. But it has become a term to describe these really hardline right wingers.
Well, all right. Any more international news?
No, but I do. Well, international and AIDS news. Austria has decided that everybody can donate blood on an equal basis. The only restriction is if you have had sex with three different partners or more in the last 3 months, you will be screened as a blood donor.
Regardless of gender or sexual orientation.
Exactly.
Monkeypox, which we're all concerned about, now in 23 countries that are not endemic to the virus. But health officials keep saying things like it's containable. WHO says it's a moderate risk to overall public health at a global level. 257 confirmed cases, 122 suspected.
You know, they didn't think HIV was going to get very far either. And we've since
had care.
70 million cases worldwide.
35 million dead.
Monkeypox. We'll keep an eye on monkeypox.
You got to rub up against somebody, basically, or, you know, their clothing or something.
Keep your distance. Right. Avoid other people's bodily fluids. All right. Entertainment news. Well, I don't have a convenient segue for that. Well, Ellen DeGeneres has ended her talk show officially. 64 years old, 19 years doing the talk show. And of course, before that, the sitcoms, including the one on the original sitcom in 97, where she came out on the air, blurting it to Laura Dern on an airport microphone. I'm gay. She got, you know, countless Emmys and started her career nationally in Showtime Comedians Competition. I remember that competition that she won. In 2016, she was given the Medal of Freedom by Obama, and she hosted the Oscars in 2007 and 2014. I say this not as to say that her career is over. Far from it. I'm sure we'll see many other things from her. She had an enormous impact and should be given credit for that. And then, of course, in the last couple of years, ran into a real buzzsaw with accusations of bad treatment of her staff at the Ellen Show.
Well,
and
when
that
she,
took her ratings way down.
When she came out, it was such an event in this country. It actually lowered the age at which young people could figure out that they were gay or lesbian or bisexual. It just had an enormous impact.
I remember having a party to celebrate her coming out at the time, and there were like a
I took your overflow. You had so many people in your apartment.
Most of whom I did not know. Word spread.
We were all celebrating.
A couple hundred people in my one bedroom apartment. And as it ended and people were leaving, I was standing at the door saying goodbye to people, and they'd introduce themselves to me. I'd say, "You were here? Oh my God!"
I've never had more than 60 in my one bedroom, and the normal party rate would be 25 these days. Yeah. One.
Well, I give her a lot of credit for what she did. I have my own, personal opinions, but she really did an enormous amount and made a huge difference.
Great pioneer. She can take over the show.
Please.
All right. Netflix boss Ted Sarandos, in the wake of the Chappelle controversy, apparently issued a corporate cultural memo. If you're going to find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix may not be the best place for you to work. And then
sad.
He defended Ricky Gervais's crude, transphobic as free speech. No, this is speech he expects subscribers to pay for, and they're leaving in droves, 200,000 in the first quarter. His stock is down 70% in 6 months. Get a cue.
Is he friendly with Elon Musk? Is that the that's the new bro culture in Hollywood?
I don't know.
Well, right. Netflix, nonetheless, is producing this new, is it a movie or a series? Maestro.
It's a movie. This is a movie. Maestro.
Bradley Cooper directing, starring, maybe writing, the life story of Leonard Bernstein.
Well, it's the life story. It's focusing mostly on his relationship with his wife, Felicia Montalegre, played by Carey Mulligan. He did have a wife and he did love her, but it's also going to apparently feature Matt Bomer as Bernstein's male love interest. But we will see how they handle all of that.
Steven Spielberg and Marty Scorsese, not known for their gay productions, are producers on this effort. I think that picture of Bradley Cooper as Bernstein is really astonishing in its.
He is wearing a prosthetic nose.
Well, that's fine. But the point is, he looks like him.
He does. He does look like Lenny.
That's pretty amazing.
Everybody did call him Maestro. The one time I met him, everybody was hovering around him saying, "Maestro, Maestro." Also in the works is a limited series on Amazon about gay pioneer Frank Kameny, based on Eric Cervini's book, The Deviant's War, the homosexual versus the USA. The homosexual in this case was Kameny, an activist who started in the 1950s. Now that's Frank being handed a pen by a guy you might recognize, Barack Obama. What I believe he was doing some executive order around federal personnel and sexual orientation and gender identity. Cervini's LGBT, and by the way, Matthew Lopez, who won the Tony for The Inheritance, is scripting this series. And Cervini's LGBTQ history series, The Book of Queer, is premiering June 2nd on Discovery Plus.
Do I have to have yet another streaming service to see this? Can't you just put it on television?
Well, it's not. None of this. The opera Harvey Milk's not going to be on TV. This was developed back in 1995. It was about 4 hours long. They've trimmed it to an hour and 50 minutes and apparently greatly revised it. And it's going to premiere at the Opera Theater of St. Louis on June 11th. Harvey Milk opera.
Not opera is the new Barbie doll from Mattel, which is a likeness of Laverne Cox. And there's Laverne with her Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Laverne is thrilled with this depiction of her. She says she got one as a child, a Barbie doll. She hopes it helps kids dream big.
And it helps kids who feel stigmatized. It is one of the best-selling dolls on Amazon.
Really?
Yes. And a couple of other notes. We've got a couple of minutes here.
Yeah. Okay.
The Out director, Terrence Davies, who's in his, I think, late 70s. He has a new movie about LGBTQ World War I poet Siegfried Sassoon and his romance with Ivor Novello, played by Jack Loudon and Jeremy Irvine, respectively. Jeremy Irvine was in that terrible Stonewall movie, but he's done some good stuff. And then Peter Capaldi plays Sassoon when he's older. It's called Benediction.
And where
then that Fire Island movie.
When can we see that?
That is in movie theaters now. Coming
movie
up.
Theaters?
I'll be waiting for it to come on cable.
Well, I'm not going to see Top Gun Maverick. Also only in movie theaters.
A gay classic. Fire Island, the movie Fire Island, about a group of gay friends in the Pines, I think, bows June 3rd on Hulu. It stars Bowen Yang and Margaret Cho, among many others.
I was telling you about all the lesbian kisses on TV these days. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting them. But I got the show ended before I could tell you about 10%, which is the English version of Call Your Agent, Call My Agent. Call My Agent, Call Your Agent. Anyway, the French version, Call My Agent, which is better than the English version, although Stockholm Syndrome is kicking in and I'm getting sucked into 10% on Sundance and BBC America.
We're very happy to be with you this Pride Month. Thank you, Anne, for helping, really leading and helping put that Stonewall flag raising event together. It was quite moving. We hope to bring
all Michael Petrelis.
We hope to bring you more of that next week.
Yeah, some speeches. And meanwhile, enjoy Pride Month. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. There goes the flag on the federal flagpole at the Stonewall National Monument.
The progress flag.
Yep.
It was a very stirring event to see
with
that.
With a National Park Service insignia.
Right.